Stories from California Cattle Country is produced by the California Cattlemen's Foundation and receives support from the California Cattle Council. We've created this podcast for those wanting to connect with the people and practices of far-flung ranches and dairies in California through hearing stories from and learning more about the families of cattle country. Cowtrack Ranch is located in Ocasio, California, which resides in Marin County, about 8 miles south-southwest of Novato. It's about as small as one gets while being a functional town, though I think it's technically a village or something. With a post office, general store, St. Mary's Catholic Church, the Rancho Nicasio Bar and Restaurant, and a volunteer fire department. The 2020 census listed the population as 81. Residents are primarily involved in agriculture, with Nicasio Valley home to dairies, farms, vineyards, and of course, cattle ranches. Nicasio might be best known for being the location of George Lucas's Skywalker Ranch, which is a few miles out of town on Lucas Road. No relation in the name, though. For a time, that ranch was utilized as offices and for production in many aspects of filmmaking, but now houses only Skywalker Sound. Skywalker Ranch is also a functioning cattle ranch. In fact, the existence of Skywalker Ranch plays a bit of a role in the operations at Cowtrack Ranch. More on that later. This job allows me to extensively travel the state by car. I'm constantly surprised to find new, smallish, unique agricultural areas, oftentimes just home to a single or handful of operations. Nicasio Valley is no different. This time of the year, the grass is golden, providing plenty of forage for the ruminants, and trees can be found in just the right places for shade. The mild climate allows for the cattle to remain on property year-round. I was at the ranch to meet Melissa Daniels, owner and operator of Cowtrack Ranch. Melissa, along with four dogs, came from her home ranch office to greet me with gift bags for cattlemen staff of ranch honey, homemade soap, and their sun-dried rosemary cooking salt, which is delicious.
I did.
I didn't want to forget, but I made goodie bags.
Oh, thank you.
One for Kirk and one for Billy.
Oh, awesome.
This is ranch goodies.
All right.
Yeah.
Look at this.
This is Chloe.
Hey, Chloe.
I have Chloe and Willow. They're my coyote patrol.
In this episode, we speak with Melissa about ranching in Nicasio, about her Angus and Longhorn cattle, and the ancillary business that she runs through agritourism to ensure the success of her operation, and host and educate non-ranchers about the ins and outs of agricultural living. I'm Ryan Donahue, and this is Stories from California Cattle Country. We hopped in a side-by-side to tour the ranch. Now, I've met a lot of cows, and I gotta tell you that these cows are some of the friendliest. The property is flanked by a large steep hill that borders the valley, and some of the cows uninterested in podcasting loped around up on that hill. I was also surprised to see longhorns, as most cattle nowadays don't have horns, as they can prove problematic with, say, fences or having to move them. In speaking with Melissa on the ride, she said actually the longhorns are quite adept at moving around tight spaces. She said when coyotes attempt to get a calf, which could be a problem in the area, the hornless Angus will surround the calves while the longhorns will run around and employ those horns to run the coyotes off. Over the course of this podcast, we've seen ranches diversify their income streams in a myriad of ways to attempt to better situate themselves for the many dry years, fires, floods caused by fires, and alike. We've discussed things like wind turbines, cell phone towers, selling ranch property and then buying commercial, even delving into farming. Cowtrack has two homes, smack dab in the middle of the ranch property, which are available via Airbnb, allowing for stays and experiences on a functioning cattle ranch. The property is also capable of hosting events like weddings. What I love about agritourism is along with meeting the needs of visitors, like in a unique stay in a beautiful place, and ranchers via an additional income, it allows for people uninvolved in agriculture to see the work that ranchers put into caring for their animals, the natural environment around them, and their legacy. After a tour of the ranch, we met in the guest house where Melissa opted for flip-flops over cowboy boots, and we sat down for an interview.
I'm Melissa Daniels. We are at Cowtrack Ranch in Nicasio, California. I am a second-generation rancher out here in West Marin, about 30 minutes east of the coast. We've been here since 1987. My parents acquired the ranch under purchase from the original owner, which was a dairy farm. My dad was a veterinarian and he was out here treating a sick cow and the owner wanted to get out of the dairy business. So he offered the ranch for sale. They made a deal in the milk barn and shook hands and that was it.
Do you think in retrospect your dad would, because I know he's passed, but would he still think it was like that was a good deal? Was it a mistake or no?
It was the best decision he ever made. He used to always tell me that. I'm so glad we did this. So my dad was doing veterinary work out here in West Marin since the probably the late 70s. My dad was originally from Chicago, Illinois, and my mom was a native of San Francisco. So a city girl and a veterinarian.
Your father was a large animal veterinarian, is that correct? And right now they're in short supply. It's a very different kind of practice than cats and dogs and birds and such. Growing up, were you involved in his work?
So I always went on calls with my dad from, you know, horses to cattle. I was always there with my boots on, getting involved and watching him do surgeries. And he could pretty much solve any case there was. And I really got more interested in the cattle health and husbandry growing up around cattle.
Like, so he obviously had a lot of experience with cattle and things like that. Like what was the motivation for him to, you know, do a handshake deal in a dairy barn? Is it something he thought about for a long time or just to just do it?
My dad's dream was always to own a ranch. My parents, that was their vision, you know, to own this ranch and to farm and have cattle. My dad always owned cattle and leased land. And so this was a great opportunity just to expand on that and make your dream really come true. So growing up out here, I feel really fortunate to have, you know, the opportunity to carry on that legacy of my parents and continue this land and agriculture.
And would you say that your mother was kind of responsible for the other farm income kind of activities that were happening here?
Yeah. So my mom, you know, like I said, she farmed 5 acres here. It was all certified organic. And my dad managed the cattle and did the veterinary work. So it was kind of a combination of a few different things in regards to career.
I want to learn more about you coming to run the ranch.
So I've been around the ranch my whole life, you know, born and raised here. I went to school in San Francisco. I lived off the ranch for quite some time, but I always came to the ranch after work, was really involved with the cattle business primarily. My mom and I started the farm stay in 2011 together. So I was here pretty much every day. And even though I wasn't living here, and then I officially moved back home when my mom passed in 2018 full time.
What was the motivation for bringing people out here? Was it additional income source or was it about educating people from urban areas more about ranching? A bit of both?
It was a little bit of both. I'd say 50-50. My parents were getting to that retirement age. And, you know, as you know, it's really hard to get by with just agricultural services. And my parents were looking for another alternative for incomes. I discovered Airbnb and we had already been renting the bunkhouse out to people just word of mouth. People would call and say, you know, we're in the area. Is the house available? And we'd go turn the lights on and make sure the beds were made and welcome guests that way. And another thing was my mom was really heavily involved with certified organic farming. She produced produce for lots of restaurants and school lunch programs and things of that nature. And so she involved a lot of urban people out here on the ranch to educate them on farming. So it kind of one thing turned into another.
Can you tell me about besides beef, we'll talk about beef a little bit, but besides beef, what other products leave this ranch and go to people, things that people pay for?
Most recently, got chickens. So I'm selling eggs off the ranch, very small scale, of course, just for farmstay guests. I do sun-dried rosemary sea salt, which is great for cooking. I specifically love using it on my steaks with a little ground pepper. I also offer honey. I recently got a beekeeper about 3 years ago. So he's producing honey, which is really delicious, by the way. And I'm also doing artisanal soaps, products that are grown on the ranch, lemons, pears, carrots, lavender, rosemary. So we have a company that does organic beauty care products.
Okay. And then in regard to beef, you said you did some direct sales stuff. Where do your cows go? Like, where does the beef go to? And like, what percentages are kind of where?
Right now, it's pretty small scale. I'm only in my second year of doing direct-to-consumer beef. And that idea actually came about on a conversation with a good friend of mine at one of my cattle roundups. We were sitting on the porch enjoying our barbecue lunch after we vaccinated cows. And he had just launched his USDA mobile processing unit. And he asked me if I'm interested in offering my own beef in combination with going to these beef meetings, just talking to some larger producers across the US and getting really inspired to do so. I had this concept of this full circle experience where I could bring guests here to stay at the ranch, eat the food that was produced here, and then leave with a full belly, a happy heart, and memories to share. So I really wanted to emphasize what was produced off the land for these people to come and stay and eat this food and just have a real good connection to agriculture.
Have you used the mobile processing business here?
I only use JMF for my processing. His unit is actually only a 15-minute drive from the ranch. So I just deliver my steers there. I'm only harvesting a few steers every year right now.
Okay. Because I think another thing people don't quite understand, non-ranching people specifically, is that there aren't a lot of places to get your cows processed. Typically, they have to get on a truck and go somewhere really far away to get processed and packed and then come back. And I know that for the longest time, there's been a lot of complaints about just how limited the supply is. This is like a new wrinkle, right? Like this is something that can be, does he actually travel out to other places too? Like he could come here if he wanted to, but you just bring him there.
He does some mobile. It's more efficient just to have everything in one location at the plant. Honestly, this unit becoming certified was a huge groundbreaking thing for our community. Just to have, we've never had the ability to do that and have USDA certified.
Is there a specific way that you have the animal broken down into certain cuts? Like, or is that something you've been kind of messing with?
I just offer individual cuts. That's kind of my business model right now, just being small scale. And I have a cut sheet. It's pretty general, to be honest. And of course, my most popular cuts are the ribeyes and the New Yorks and the fillets, the ribeyes being number one. And obviously those go very quickly.
Something that we've talked about in prior podcasts is about the idea of freezing meat and how over time people thought that there was a significant loss in either flavor or quality because of freezing meat. I wanted to lobby for everybody. I think everybody should have a deep freezer. Then it allows you, when you sell, so you're doing single cuts, do you ever sell a half beef or like a whole animal?
I have a smaller herd, so I don't really have the capacity to start doing that. But honestly, frozen beef is huge. I mean, you can buy a beef and stock your freezer and feed your family for the year and friends, you know, it's huge.
You're kind of an anomaly in the ranching community in that you're active online. You know, you have an active Instagram account, and also you're doing the Airbnb thing and having guests out on your ranch. Did your communications just come kind of naturally, or was this something that you had to kind of focus on? And how important are communications, the outside world, to your ranch?
You know, I've always been a social person. I've really enjoyed photography my whole life. I'm just out there snapping photos every chance I can. I like to really engage consumers, especially ones that aren't familiar with ranching. And my mission, of course, is to connect urban people with agriculture. So by doing the social media platform, I feel like that's really going to bring them in, and you can be anywhere in the world and still connect to Cowtrack Ranch, which is pretty cool.
Has there been any communications that you felt that surprised you because it did so well? Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. You know, we post on the California Cattlemen's Instagram all the time, pictures of dogs and horses and, you know, and cows. And I found that I did a video where I almost got hit by a gate that a cow kicked. And record engagement, like if my life's in danger, you know, people love it. But have you found any kind of messaging and things that kind of surprised you? Like things that people either didn't know or things that just got more attention than you would have expected normally?
I think it's more the in-person experience for when people come here and they see me, you know, moving the bulls from one pasture to the next and things like that. As far as the social media, I feel like I could do a better job of putting it out there that it's not all picture perfect like it looks on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. I think people need to see more of that part of the business.
Something I learned in doing Instagram, but also is just people really are, and I hate using the word because it's been used so much, but are really interested in things that are authentic and things that are really happening around. A lot of times the pictures you're taking where, you know, you're surrounded by this stuff every day, you know, the wildlife that's here, like the birds are flying around right now. And it's easy to forget that that's really interesting to everyone else, you know, who don't live in this kind of world.
I think it's not that you take it for granted, but you're so used to it that you forget how unique it is.
Some people are like, I need to get a photographer to come out. And it's like, no, you could just do it yourself.
And that's one thing. I wish I had a professional camera. I keep saying, one day I'm going to do that. I'm just on my iPhone. And it's so hard when you're out there feeding cows and you're throwing hay around. And how are you supposed to have a camera and then take your camera out? And, you know, but maybe one day.
I kind of want to create a glossary for people with certain terms that people might not quite understand. Like the last episode we just did, it was like, and I got quizzed at the fair. So this is what it took it kind of personally. But like, they're like, you know, the difference between, you know, a steer, a heifer, a cow, a bull, like all that kind of stuff. On this property, we know, we walked around and typically most ranches have Black Angus. That's typically the cows that we see, and they're like jet black cows with pretty good personalities. But you also have some Longhorn cows. Can you tell me why? Like why you have them first, and then what makes them different from the Angus ones you have?
When my dad was a veterinarian, he did veterinary work over at Skywalker Ranch, which is George Lucas's property just down the road. And they had Longhorn cattle over there. So my dad got really inspired and he ended up buying a couple. Since then, I mean, I was a little kid back then, we've always had a couple. So we went from probably 40 head of Longhorns, and now we're down to about 4.
As far as product goes, are they similar in quality to Black Angus? Like, why don't I see more? I've been to probably over 40 ranches now, and I think this is the first ranch where I saw a cow in person that had horns. Like, why is that?
To be honest, the beef is really lean. You're not going to get a whole lot out of that carcass. And people really want the black hided cattle at the sale. So those calves just don't bring what the Angus bring. I do think they have a benefit to being on the ranch. They're great for predator control. I mean, those cows, when they calve, they're protective and they'll protect all the other calves and they will dig a coyote into the dirt. They're just really rugged. Another thing that's really great about the Longhorns is they will go in places on the ranch that the Angus will not go. So specifically places that is inaccessible. I mean, they'll be up on the canyon, up on the rocks, and they're almost like mountain goats. Those animals can go anywhere. They don't drink as much water. They don't eat as much. They'll eat some of the forage that the Angus won't eat. They'll be out there eating thistles and all kinds of brush. And they really just, they're low maintenance.
They get along with the Angus as well?
They all get along.
Well, I remember you said you had like I think it's up there still. You're like, yeah, there's a red one and it's way up there. It's like, right now I'm looking out a window and it's.
And that's not even as far as they go. I mean, they'll be at the skyline at the very top where you can't even hike.
This is really like for ranching beginners. To my knowledge, they have horns, right? So like, where did all the horns go?
I just would say genetics, yeah. Breeding over time and different breeds of cattle as well.
But like you said, like they are conscious that they have these giant horns on their heads and they kind of do move around. Like you said, when you put in a chute or something, they kind of turn their head sideways.
Yeah, I actually just had to treat one for pink eye. It's, you know, I've been using the pink eye vaccine, which has been really successful. But I had one that I got in and it was in the middle of my work day. So I had to pause with my conference call and run out and get her in the chute. And she just walked on in. I put a halter on her and tied her horns up so I didn't get my teeth knocked out and treated her eye. And, you know, it's really impressive how they work their horns. They really know how to maneuver and they can get through tight spaces and whatnot. So I have to give them credit for that.
Anybody that's familiar with your ranch by either going online and looking at the website or on Instagram or other sources of social media know that you are a fan of quotes.
Yes.
So I put a list in front of you. It looks like 9 different celebrities or famous people that made these quotes. And I'm just going to read you a quote and we'll see if you can match it to the person.
Okay.
You ready? Go. Okay. While editing this episode, it occurred to me that should listeners want to participate in this quote quiz, they'd be better served if they also had the list of names to work with. So in the spirit of fair competition, in no particular order, the following quotes are from Teddy Roosevelt, George Lucas, Walt Disney, Winston Churchill, Mae West, Steve Jobs, Helen Keller, and Ernest Hemingway. Now back to the podcast. Okay, so this one I believe you've actually used in social media, so this should be a softball, but if you can dream it, you can do it.
Walt Disney.
Yeah, you're right.
It's one of my favorites.
You can cross it out too if you want. I don't know. The next one is the best way you can find out if you can trust someone is to trust them.
That's a difficult one. Ernest Hemingway?
That is correct. It is Ernest Hemingway. This is a more contemporary quote, and it was probably said somewhere within a couple hundred miles of here, but the most important thing is to enjoy your life, to be happy. It's all that matters.
That's George Lucas.
No. Steve Jobs.
Oh.
Yeah. You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough.
Mae West, a classic.
That is correct. Success is struggling from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm.
Winston Churchill.
That's correct. Be persistent and never give up.
I'm going to go with Teddy Roosevelt.
That was George Lucas. That was the George Lucas one. You know, it's not that. Believe you can, and you're halfway there.
Helen Keller.
That's Roosevelt.
Oh.
This one, the Helen Keller one, I should have started with because it's the quote is, the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even heard, but felt with the heart.
Helen Keller has always the greatest quotes.
Yeah. Well, Melissa, I want to thank you for allowing me to come out and bother you. I had a great time, and your ranch is beautiful.
Thank you. I really appreciate you coming out.
In speaking with Melissa, that initially, being a woman-owned cattle operation wasn't much of a big deal. After all, she's been on that ranch her whole life and doing the same work as everyone else. But it's important to know, beef cattle are raised in all 50 states. 880,000 total cattle and calf operations. Of these, about 802,000 are cow-calf and stocker background or cattle farms and ranches, 96% of which are family-owned and operated, where only 9% are operated by women. If you're interested in visiting CowTrack Ranch or ordering ranch-made goods like beef, handmade soap, or their incredible honey, visit www.cowtrackranch.com for details. We have an Instagram account at Calcado Country where you can see additional content about our travels. We love feedback. You can always send feedback to ryan@calcattle.org. We'll be back on the 28th of August. Thank you for listening.